José Antonio Rey María had no intention of making history when he rowed out into the Atlantic from the coast of Andalusia in southwest Spain on April 30, 1943. He was merely looking for sardines. José was proud of his reputation as the best fish spotter in Punta Umbria. On a clear day, he could pick out the telltale iridescent flash of sardines several fathoms deep. When he saw a shoal, José would mark the place with a buoy and then signal to Pepe Cordero and the other fishermen in the larger boat, La Calina, to row over swiftly with the horseshoe net. But the weather today was bad for fish spotting. The sky was overcast, and an onshore wind ruffled the water's surface. The fishermen of Punta Umbria had set out before dawn, but so far they had caught only anchovies and a few bream. Rowing Ana, his little skiff, in a wide arc, José scanned the water again, the rising sun warming his back. On the shore, he could see the little cluster of fishing huts beneath the dunes on Playa del Portil, his home. Beyond that, past the estuary where the rivers Odiel and Tinto flowed into the sea, lay the port of Huelva. The war, now in its fourth year, had hardly touched this part of Spain. Sometimes José would come across strange flotsam in the water, fragments of charred wood, pools of oil, and other debris that told of battles somewhere out at sea. Earlier that morning, he had heard gunfire in the distance and a loud explosion. Pepe said that the war was ruining the fishing business, as no one had any money, and he might have to sell La Calina and Anna. It was rumoured that the captains of some of the larger fishing boats spied for the Germans or the British, but in most ways the hard lives of the fishermen continued as they had always done. José had been born on the beach, in a hut made from driftwood, 23 years earlier. He had never travelled beyond Huelva. He had never been to school or learned to read and write. But no one in Punta Umbria was better at spotting fish. It was mid-morning when José noticed a lump above the surface of the water. At first he thought it must be a dead porpoise, but as he rowed closer, the shape grew clearer, and then unmistakable. It was a body, floating face down, buoyed by a yellow life jacket, the lower part of the torso invisible. The figure seemed to be dressed in uniform. As he reached over the gunwale to grab the body, José caught a gust of putrefaction and found himself looking into the face of a man, or rather, what had been the face of a man. The chin was entirely covered in green mould, while the upper part of the face was dark, as if tanned by the sun. José wondered if the dead man had been burned in some accident at sea. The skin on the nose and chin had begun to rot away. José waved and shouted to the other fishermen. As La Calina drew alongside, Pepe and the crew clustered to the gunwale. José called for them to throw down a rope and haul the body aboard, but no one wanted to touch it. Annoyed, José realized he would have to bring it ashore himself. Seizing a handful of sodden uniform, he hauled the corpse onto the stern, and with the leg still trailing in the water, he rowed back to shore, trying not to breathe in the smell. On the part of the beach called La Bota, the boot, José and Pepe dragged the body up to the dunes. A black briefcase, attached to the man by a chain, trailed in the sand behind them. They laid out the corpse in the shade of a pine tree. Children streamed out of the huts and gathered around the gruesome spectacle. The man was tall, at least 6 feet, dressed in a khaki tunic and trench coat with large army boots. 17-year-old Obdulia Serrano spotted a small silver chain with a cross around his neck. The dead man must have been a Roman Catholic. Obdulia was sent to summon the officer from the defense unit guarding this part of the coast. A dozen men of Spain's 72nd Infantry Regiment had been marching up and down the beach earlier that morning, as they did, rather pointlessly, most mornings, and the soldiers were now taking a siesta under the trees. The officer ordered two of his men to stand guard over the body, in case someone tried to go through the dead man's pockets, and trudged off up the beach to find his commanding officer. The scent of the wild rosemary and jacaranda growing in the dunes could not mask the stench of decomposition. Flies buzzed around the body. The soldiers moved upwind. Somebody went to fetch a donkey to carry the body to the village of Punta Umbria, 4 miles away. From there, it could be taken by boat across the estuary to Huelva. The children dispersed. José Antonio Rey María, perfectly unaware of the events he had just set in motion, pushed his little boat back into the sea and resumed his search for sardines.